Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show is Mr. Tim Robertson of Speed Strength Systems, coming to you from Chesterland, Ohio. Tim, how are you today, sir? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Not too much. Just finished some morning people. Now that it's afternoon, we'll hit another heavy flow in the afternoon and on to the next day, right?
On to the next. Another day in the life of being a business owner in the fitness industry. And so, Tim, I'm a big believer in context. I think that knowing how we got here is just as important as knowing where we're going. So for you, take us back a little bit, put us in your time machine here, way, way back to when the idea sprouted in your head that you were going to open this business. When was it? And what was your original goal as you set out to open this?
Well, 22 years ago, let me go back even further. I started my undergrad degree in quote unquote business, took my first business class, accounting and microeconomics, and did horrible. I said, this is not for me, dropped out of the business side, and exercise physiology found me. So I worked with the strength and conditioning coach at Dayton, University of Dayton. And so fast forward to about, let's see, 7 years after I graduated, and I did my master's and all that and other jobs in the fitness world. And I had no desire, no want, no need to own my own business. So I met a friend, and he and I had the same mindset. So a lot of similar credentials and training philosophy and everything. So we put a business plan together. And at the time I was working at the Cleveland Clinic in sports medicine and wasn't going where I wanted it to go. So I took a big jump, a big risk. And we started Speed Strength Systems in 2000, November of 2000. So there's been
I'm sure it's been quite a ride for you. And in those 20 plus years, I want to sort of go high level from this first and foremost. What's been the best part about owning this business? And second part, what's been the most challenging aspect of owning this business?
Hands down, the best part is the relationships you create. I can't even begin to tell you the number of, whether you're an athlete or a general population fitness individual, the athletes you establish are long-term. And, you know, with our unique setting here, where we work with quite a bit of younger kids who are just in their early stages of development and of being an athlete or just trying to get in a better health. Now they're in college or now they're married and they're sending their kids to us to replicate what we did with them. That's special. We're like teachers. And I think a lot of us in the fitness world, we work with people, we're educating them, we're helping them just like a teacher would. So we're like the teacher, they're the pupil. And when they come back, it's very rewarding. So that's hands down the best part. The one downfall or tough part, aside from the hours, 70, 80 hours a week, which I pretty much still do. It's a grind. But you got to love what you do. Otherwise, you're counting hours. Probably the ups and downs of the economy. You know, in 2001, we had 9/11. 9/11 hit the economy pretty bad. 2008, we had the housing bubble that crashed. And then now I think we're done with the pandemic, but we're sort of on the outskirts of the COVID. And So these are huge ups and downs with the financial market, which quite honestly, the fitness, and unfortunately, a lot of people look at it as disposable income to be used for that, which as you and I know, it shouldn't. This should be a priority, wellness and health. So I would say those would be the big things.
Okay. So fluctuations in somewhat out of our control, right? This isn't something that you or I caused, but we get to deal with the repercussions of it. And so the business as it stands today, you mentioned coming out of 2+ years of craziness in terms of running a fitness facility and a business, no less. How does your membership or the overall business metrics look now compared to 2019 or early 2020?
I think they're very comparable. In all actuality, our general fitness personal training side has increased. So it's sort of leveled off a little bit with our athlete training to our personal training. And I think a lot of people here in Ohio, we weren't shut down like New York and some other states as long. So people sort of got that mindset to, hey, let's take control of our health because this could help prevent us from getting sick and to be our well-being better. So our numbers are pretty much the same, to be honest with you. We've increased our personal training, the private side, some small groups, but things really haven't taken a big plummet in any way, which is good.
Yeah. And I think it's worthwhile to touch on the model of this, right? And so how you serve your clients, we need to touch on who your clients are in the first place. For you, there's a separation between the sports performance side of things, competitive athletes, and the everyday mom and pop people looking to move a little bit better, feel a little bit better, and live their lives. Marketing for each one of these clients is vastly different as well, right? How we attract a high school basketball player is not the same as how we attract a 45-year-old accountant. And so walk us through what's been the marketing strategy for you thus far. How have we been able to attract leads in the first place?
Yeah. From day one in November of 2000, we started doing a little print marketing back in the day before social media hit. Now we're almost exclusively social media, whether it's ads on Facebook or Instagram, but not a lot. We rely primarily on our reputation, and marketing is an area I need to get better at. But overall, we have relied a big part on word of mouth and our reputation. For example, I had an individual, he's 58 years old. He's a skating coach here in Cleveland, a very accomplished. He was referred by his brother, and his brother saw us just driving down the street. And that's how it works. And I've been working with both of them for 4 years now. So we've established that trust, that relationship. You're right with the difference between the general population, you know, the housewife or the lawyer or the teacher or whoever, versus a young athlete. There is a different delivery that you need to make to really attract them, because quite honestly, it could be very intimidating for some. Walking, like our facility is about 9,500, but it's more of an athletic based facility. And you and I know it's not the facility that makes your programming. It's the personality, it's the knowledge,
the coaching.
Yeah, the coaching, all that. So, you know, changing some verbiage and highlighting this, highlighting that can really, I think, has been a big part of what has helped us attract our general population in a different way from our athlete population.
Understood. Okay. And so if I'm to summarize what I'm hearing from you, it's a combination of a number of things, right? It's not this is our one tried and true strategy, but our reputation, we've been here for 20 plus years. People know, people have been around, people have gotten results. But in tandem with some form of marketing, before it was print marketing, now it's social media ads. And at the same time, leveraging both of those things and playing off of each other so that we can expand our ecosystem, right? Do we get word of mouth type referral leads? Yeah, of course, right? The people that train with us typically know other people that would benefit from this type of service. But to expand even beyond that, you've layered on some other things. Tim, I wanna pick your brain, because the process of getting leads is just half the battle, right? These people need to transition to paying clients at a certain point for it to be any sort of meaningful to the business. In your business, who is usually handling that quote unquote sales process? Who's meeting with these leads? Who's going over options? Who handles this aspect?
Yours truly.
Okay.
Yeah, I handle all that. We're a very small operation. We have a, you know, and that's sort of by design. As you know, you got to keep things lean to make it financially. So I handle all the business side as well as the training. I've got a great staff of coaches who we work hand in hand, but I handle all the marketing, the emails, the what do we do with this marketing and this lead and this person. So yeah, I handle
a lot of that funnels through you.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And so let me ask you this, is conversion percentage or how many signups we have versus how many total leads, is that something that you guys keep an eye on, or is it done more sort of gut feeling?
Yeah, we don't. I don't keep a track of how many emails turn into a monthly client or personal training. We don't dive into that deep with numbers.
Okay. Let me ask you this then a little bit differently. How many people do you sign up in a given month?
Typically anywhere from 15 to 30. It is seasonal. So in some of what we do, it's seasonal, especially with the athlete population, but it also with the general population as well. It obviously at different times throughout the year, there's a greater desire to, you know, want to pursue fitness and health and wellness. So I would say 15 to 30 a month.
Which one of those services do you think you have the most room for growth or the biggest opportunity for expansion?
I think the general population, the fitness, the non-athlete who wants to, you know, lose weight or get off of their blood pressure medicine or just look better and feel better. There's no doubt that we've got a lot of room where we can expand upon into that.
Okay. Cool. And so I want to expand a little bit, because just signing up clients, like obviously we already mentioned, this is a necessary aspect of business, but for somebody that's been around 2+ decades like yourself, we don't get here without retention being probably a bigger focus than the front end piece. What in your mind is sort of the most important thing when it comes to training clients for longer than 3 months, 6 months, 12 months?
I think establishing that trust and relationship. They have to trust you. They have to, I mean, results are very important. You have to deliver results and help them accomplish their goals. But if you have a bad attitude or your communication isn't good, or you're in a moody, different mood every day, you're not going to retain people. And I think that's one thing that we have done a great job through the years, is by establishing these relationships, delivering results, and making them feel comfortable that we're there for them. We are a service, and that's the industry we're in. We're a service industry, and it's health and fitness. So if those things don't all come together, then you're not going to be able to retain.
Right. That's, yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And when we talk about retention in the fitness industry, whether it's performance based, whether it's Gen Pop based, whatever the modality is, typically it all stems back to utilization, right? If people are coming consistently, if people are actively engaged in your community or your culture, they're going to continue to stay, right? It's those people that start to trickle off, don't come to their sessions, don't come to gym parties or extra events or whatever that happens to be. Those are the people that we typically lose. And so I think you're spot on when it comes to retention here. As you look forward, Tim, you've been doing this for 20 years, like you said. What's sort of the longer term goal with this? What's the aspiration that you're still shooting for? What's that sort of thing that we're constantly reaching for? What's driving you to continue this business?
Well, one, I love it. I obviously, you know, working as much as I do, I'm also a college strength coach. So that adds on top of everything else. I'm very fortunate to have found a profession that I enjoy. I enjoy helping people. My father was a teacher. So I look at myself as somewhat of an educator, a teacher. But with regards to the business, there's no question we can expand our numbers, and that's a goal. We have some numbers that we have that we want to reach by December of this year. We've invested in some new technology. And that sort of is another area that helps with retention, is not necessarily the shiny new things, but expanding upon breaking down the monotony of your normal training. So we like to use as many tools as we can within our facility to break up that monotony of doing the same exact thing this day and that day. So I think the short-term goals is obviously reach out to more athletes and also more fitness people who want to get better, improve their health. You look at our situation in our country, people need to take control of their health. The long-term goal, where I don't have to work 70, 80 hours a week.
Yeah. I can imagine at some point you would like to take a step back from that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone in that. I speak to so many people in our industry, and that somewhat has become the norm, especially post-COVID, unfortunate. A lot of times layoffs has become a reality. Gym owners that were able to sort of elevate above that have had to take a step back and coach a lot more classes and get back on the training floor. And so I think aspirations for sure. I think it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge for any gym owner, even in the best of times, to take a step back and delegate to a team, because I think that's a little bit of an ego thing for us, that we become the best trainer in our facility. It's hard to give a little bit of leeway, but that'll be an interesting personal challenge for you as well as business challenge, I'm sure. Tim, I think that's a really good place for us to wrap up our conversation. But before we sign out of here, I want to give you the ability to tell people where they could learn a little bit more about your business. What's the best website? What's the best social media? Where can we send people to?
Social media, it's Speed Strength Systems. That's Instagram and Facebook. We really don't do the Twitter. Our website is www.speedstrength.com. So Speed Strength Systems is the Instagram and Facebook. We post quite a bit on that. And I just put some, we had a pro athlete in this morning, so we posted that, and we post all of our things. And that's a big part. And our website has some information on it. And you know, I'm more than happy to, if another gym owner wants to call me and pick my brain on how did we survive over COVID or what did you do for 20 years? I'd be happy to share what worked for us. And that's how, you know, I look at the industry is you got to share what has helped you with our sort of comrades out there.
Yeah. I think we need a little bit more collaboration and less cutthroat competition now more than ever. So spot on, Tim. I couldn't agree more. I really appreciate your willingness to join us and give us an inside look into Speed Strength and what you guys have going on from a business standpoint. I'm excited to see what the future holds for you because it sounds like you're not done. It sounds like you guys still have goals and aspirations here. And so we wish you nothing but the best and we'll certainly be cheering for you along the way.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It was nice meeting you and happy to be on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. And to everyone who tuned in today, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you'd like to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is JJ Hernandez. And joining us on the show today is a very special guest. It's the one and only Shelly Fields with Body by Shelly. Shelly, what is going on today? Happy Friday. How are you doing today?
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. Friday is always a good day for us.
Every day is a good day. I love it.
Yep. Once you come in and you get your workout, every day is a good day.
There we go. And look, we're excited to have you on. And before we dive into the nitty gritty of what you have going on with Body by Shelly, you know, first, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you describe the business to people? And Shelly, what made you get started in the first place?
Love that. I love those two questions. So I'm a fitness competitor, NPC competitor, female bodybuilder, women's physique competitor. I've been competing for about 22 years. I've always loved working out, I actually was in the hair industry for 28 years. And while I was competing, and then when I got tired of doing the hair business, I transitioned into a personal trainer. And I started working with a lot of clients that were competitors. So that's where my base was, competitors that wanted to compete. I did a lot of one-on-ones. And my passion for just seeing people achieve their goals, it does something for me. You know, it really does, because I see the change not only from the outside, but I also see it from the inside as well. So that's what motivates me to keep doing what I'm doing. Wow. I moved to Virginia five years ago, worked in the corporate world, and I just didn't have the time to work out as much as I used to. And I gained about 75 pounds in 4 years, just sitting behind a computer day in, day out. And I just decided last year that enough was enough. And I talked with my husband and I said, listen, I'm just gonna go for it, open up my studio and see what happened, you know, just go for it. Didn't know anybody, had no clients, I just opened it. And I had a marketing team that I work with, and they kind of helped me get, you know, a few things in place, like my landing page, my website, you know, helped me set up my Facebook and my Instagram. And I just took it off from there, put my signs outside, and, you know, people started calling, people started coming in. I would give the 1 week trial, you know, people would start enrolling. I mean, they were coming in and enrolling, and, you know, I mean, people come and they go, this is the business that you have to be, you have to have, kind of take your personal feelings out of it, because you can get your feelings hurt when people drop off.
Yes. You know?
And you have to come into it with a realistic mind that people will come, people will go, and you'll have your core members, those that will stick with you because they just love how you train, they love your motivation, they love how you push them, they love how you challenge them, and they also see change because they're consistent.
Okay. I love it.
Consistency is the key to anything you want to achieve. You know, you want a new body, you want to look differently, you want to feel different, you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent with the workouts, you have to be consistent showing up, just showing up, be consistent. You know, it's not a short-term thing, it's a process. It's got to become part of your daily routine, your lifestyle, you know. And people who persevere down that road, they're the ones that have lasting change versus the ones that come for 2 months just to get their quick fix.
A little, yeah. Quick fix.
The 10-pound off or the 5-pound off, and then they just disappear. So that is my love for doing what I do, because I see, you know, the changes in my clients. You know, I see their strength, I see their confidence, I see their ability to just challenge and push themselves.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel satisfied at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. And I want to highlight one thing you mentioned, Shelly, and really goes to show that you're in this for the right reasons, because it's for the care of your clients, not just financial gratification, you know? Yeah. Not to say we don't need the money, you need to survive, of course, but and by all means, what drives you, right, is not profit. It's the fact that you're changing lives. And that's it, Shelly. That's the name of the game. Yeah. I love that. I love that. And so kind of moving on here, let's say I'll use myself as the avatar, if that's okay. Let's say I walked in, right, and I'm like, Shelly, I'm ready to get started yesterday. Let's do this thing. What would I then have to pay to become an active member?
So right now I have a promotion. I run promotions every couple months. Right now I have a promotion where you pay $89.99 for the first 30 days. And then after that, it's $135 for unlimited. All my classes are unlimited. So you, as long as we're open and you want to come in and work out, you can come in and work out. We're open at 7 in the morning. Then I shut down around 10:30 after my last morning class. And then I come back in the afternoon at 4:30 to 7. So gotcha. All the time is available to the clients to come in and work out.
Gotcha. And so for you, and in your personal opinion, what's been the best method of finding new clients?
Referrals.
It's so like word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah. You have a satisfied customer. I mean, granted, they may bring referrals, but not everybody's mindset is the same. You know, so if they bring a friend might last a month and drop off. You know what I mean? So it just, it all comes down to commitment.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. And so have you tried, I think word of mouth, right, will always be around for the next thousands of years, no matter if everything's automated, whatever you want to say. Referrals are a thanks to your fulfillment, right? The how good your service is brings other people, right? People refer others because they want to raise their status. So it's exactly what they're doing. So, and it's because you're great at what you do. But now, have you tried any other avenues, like let's say unorthodox methods, maybe like flyers, right? Or maybe traditional methods like social media. Have you gone down any other avenues that's worked well for you?
As a matter of fact, I'm running one right now on Facebook, on Instagram. I do a lot of Facebook and Instagram ads. And I've gotten quite a few people from there as well. So, and I haven't done the flyer thing yet. I'm actually getting ready to do a summer camp for the kids, for the youth.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, the youth for 6 weeks. So that's my flyers I have printed that I'm distributing right now. It's a summer camp, promoting the summer camp for the kids.
Gotcha. Hey, so let me ask you this, Shelly. I think this is a good question here. Let's say clients, leads, members were unlimited, right? Hypothetically speaking, of course, how much higher can you go from where you're at now?
As far as members?
Yeah, total numbers. Like I say, because I know you said about 30. What's so that max now?
So my facility is 3,000 square feet.
Okay.
And when I have, say, 7 or 8 people, which I've had in my classes, it's full, you know. And I try to keep it where members are not on top of each other.
Totally understandable.
Because, you know, people are still a little bit COVID concerned. So I try to give it where there's, some good space between people so they're not on top of each other working out. So I would say max in my class, I would hold probably 8. And then I would go down. Sometimes I have 2, sometimes I have 3, depending on people's schedule. Okay. So it flip flops.
Important. Okay. Gotcha. And so now walk me through this. I wanted to label it correctly. I'll call it the client journey, right? So if I came in, maybe this time I'm not ready to commit just yet. I'm interested. Definitely interested. I want to see around, check around, shop around, if you will. And so walk me through the client journey, right? So being interested to then being sold the membership of program, whatever you regard it as, and then being onboarded. What does that process look like for you?
So when clients reach out to me via email or social media, I let them know that they can come in and try a class. Okay, I offer that free class for them to come in. I used to do a week, but now I've switched it to a day pass. You can come in, try out a class. And when they come in, well, first of all, when they walk through the front door, I sit down and I get a fitness assessment with them. Find out what their goals are, what they want to achieve. Have they been athletically inclined prior to coming in here? When was the last time they were a member of a fitness facility? What's their activity level like? So once I get all that answered, I introduce them to a free class. And a lot of times I would prefer to have them come in one-on-one because that lets me see their fitness level. Okay, because some of them come in and they may join my class, but my class might be too intense for them because the others have been here for a while. So their endurance is up, their strength is up. So I don't want them to feel like they don't fit in. See what I'm saying? So I try to book them with a one-on-one just to kind of see where they're at and then let them know, hey, listen, you go at your own pace. When you come in, you go at your own pace. You don't have to worry about what the next person is doing. And that gives them a sense of comfort, you know, that they don't have to feel like they're not a part of. So, and that makes it easier for me to sell them, you know, because they come in, the facility is nice, it's clean, I keep it clean.
Yeah,
I keep it clean. I'm a stickler about that. I keep it clean. The community of people we have here are very, very, very motivating, very encouraging. So, and that adds, you know, to my selling program, you know, especially when they've taken a class with some of the other members. So it doesn't really make it too hard to close them when they're, you know, deciding, look, I need to find someplace. I don't like the big box gym. I'm in someplace that's, you know, smaller groups where I can work out and see change.
Yeah, because I think they definitely see the value, right? And I'm sure they trust you as well, right? You're the fitness professional, you've been doing it. So I think the combination of the two, right? You're coming in sales is really gonna come down to trust and value. So the fact that you have both of them established, yeah, after so that,
you know,
you just bring them through the door and you got them. That's basically it. So awesome stuff there, Shelly. And so let me ask you a little bit of a longer winded question here, but a great question in itself and a good way to kind of self-reflect. So in the fitness and gym industry, there's about 3 pillars of business we use pretty predominantly. That's going to be your lead generation, which is your marketing, your client acquisition, which is your sales, and then your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So of those 3, Shelly, where do you feel like you can improve the most?
Repeat those again for me, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So lead generation marketing, which is simply getting people through the door, right? Client acquisition, sales, which is converting them from being interested to them being sold. And then retention and ascension, they're combined, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you. So ascend, upsell into other programs, other packages, other things.
So I don't have upsell as far as packages. It's just one monthly pay, you know, one monthly fee every month. Mm-hmm. But I would say maybe in the lead generation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, let me just say, well, before I even say anything else, I want to say, one, I appreciate the honesty and transparency, because regardless of the success that you have had, I think the fact that you can be honest and knowing that you can improve in certain places, right? Because everybody wants to focus on the good, but the fact that you can focus on where you can improve, which is still a good thing, I appreciate and the viewers appreciate. I think it's an eye-opener for a lot of other people. So thank you for that. And I think, again, I think as I alluded to this earlier, like, you're a fitness professional. You're not supposed to be a professional marketer. You know, you're not supposed to be. But the fact that I think for you, especially with the fact that your conversion rate is so high, that you know you can close, it's just, if you can resolve that, then imagine what's next, you know? So that's great stuff. And so last two questions for you, Shelly, that are my two favorite questions. And it's simply, what's the overarching goal? What are you trying to accomplish long-term?
So long-term, my goal, my vision, I should say, would be to open up two more locations. I would love to eventually franchise out and implement my programs that I know work into these other facilities, so people can use the programs to their best of ability.
I love it. And I think, especially for you and how much experience you have, I think that's almost like an untapped market in the case, right? Because I think not everybody can franchise and have the both sides of the experience, where it's like high level kind of competition level, where you can get the IFBB pros of the world to be, hey, like, come here. Or you can be like, hey, your mom and pops, you know, you want to come in, even children, you want to come join us on here? Totally, yeah. Fine. I love that. But that versatility is awesome. And so one last question for you here, Shelly, my favorite question, which I know you haven't been open for a year just yet, but I think it's still a strong question in itself. So, Shelly, if you could go back in time to when you first started the gym, right, day one, and give yourself that one piece of advice you think you really needed to hear back then that you know now, what would that advice be for you?
Would be to set your boundaries, because I'm a very, I wouldn't say soft-hearted, but I listen to people's concerns, you know, and they're, oh, this and oh, that, you know. So I have to put that mindset out and get in the business entrepreneur mindset. Okay. If your finances are not in order, then come see me when they are, you know. So I have to implement certain things in the, now that I know that I've been through it, I would go back and I would redo that, you know, implement a software to do the monthly payments instead of me having to do it, you know, so I don't have those payments lagging.
I love that. And I think it's so important, just because, well, that's a mic drop of an answer, I'll tell you that. We'll need to close it out. But I will say this too. I think that's so important, because you don't have that mindset when you first start. Like, I mean, maybe you did, but most people don't, you know? And I think when you can really realize, like, hey, alleviate the concern of this even happening before it does. Yeah. And that's exactly what we look for. This is such a great answer there. We're way to close it out, Shelly. Oh my goodness. Look, thank you for that. Look, it's a good place to wrap things up on this episode. Before we sign out, before we do, please shout out your Instagram, Facebook, website, anything you have. Where can people find out more about you and the gym?
We are on Facebook. It's Body by Shelly Fit Camp on Facebook. Instagram, it is Body by Shelly Fit Camp. And we are located in Mechanicsville, Virginia, 7999 Creighton Parkway, Suite B. And we would love to have you come by, visit us, come in for a free workout. You would not be disappointed.
I think am I invited too? I think I'll come down for more.
We could always use more men. I have one right now. We could use more.
Oh, there you go. I love it. Look, we absolutely appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast, Shelly, and look forward to seeing what you can accomplish down the road, genuinely. So thank you so much for it, Shelly. I appreciate the time. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you want to come in, join us, talk about your fitness business, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you very, very soon. And as always, till next time, Gym Lords out. Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors.
The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple, cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more, or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
Welcome to the Gym Lords podcast, where we talk fitness business with gym owners who are in the trenches, changing lives in their area. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with my guest, owner of Team 515 MMA in Longview, Texas, Mr. Wade Pomeroy. Pleasure to have you on today.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, sir. Let's jump right into it. We got a lot to cover and not a lot of time. Tell us what Team 515 is all about.
We are an MMA gym. We do cage fighting. And under that umbrella of cage fighting, we have a lot of standalone programs, Muay Thai, boxing, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, kids programs, teenager programs. We kind of cover it all.
All right. So we're going to dive in a little bit more about what you're doing, but we need to give the audience some background. You've been in the game a long time. So give us the highlights of how we got here. Been coaching for 20 plus years. You've had a team for going on 16, 17 years. Give us some of the background on that.
Well, before MMA kicked off, before cage fighting became something that we could do locally, we were just doing traditional martial arts. And as soon as we had a local promoter start doing cage fights in our area, we started fielding fighters, and that was in 2005 was our first fight. So that would be one of the biggest moments in our history would be that first fight. From there, trained lots of amateur fighters until, and I forget what year it was, but we had a world championship MMA fighter, Derek Krantz, amateur world championship. So that would be another huge milestone for us. During that time, we changed locations several times. I think we're in our fourth location now, our third one since I moved here to Longview. And so those are all milestones for us. And then, of course, we've had two fighters that were world champions with LFA, which is a pretty big fight promotion. And then most recently, two guys that have fought for the UFC, Derek Krantz and Kevin Aguilar. So those are all big milestones for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not a lot of people can say that they've done any one of those things. So you've grouped quite a few of them together. When you, you've been coaching since the late 90s, 2005 was a big jump. Has this been a full-time career for you, kind of only gig, for a long time? Is it something that you've had to have another career with? You know, what has that balance been for you over the years?
So whenever I started coaching, it was because there was no gym close enough to me that I could go train at. I didn't really want to coach. I didn't want to own a gym. I just wanted to fight. So in order to do that, I started my own gym and started training other people, and those people started fighting. And I'll lose track of the question here, so I'll start rambling. But
that's all right.
No, it was not something that I set out to do. It's something that just kind of happened along the way. I'm sorry. You have to kind of repeat that.
No, that's okay. So when you first started, were you doing something alongside it?
Yeah. So first off, it was a hobby. It was my hobby, and it was an expensive hobby because I had to have a second job just to pay the bills at the gym. The gym was not bringing in the money all the time. So, I had a full-time job on the side. And that's one reason I moved out of the smaller town into Longview. It's a bigger market, bigger population. And since moving to Longview, it's been a full-time gig, and I've been able to quit my other jobs and just do this full-time. But it's taken a long time to get to be able to do that.
Yeah, it starts off that way. I think a lot of people start as a hobby and a passion and have, you know, another career alongside it to support it. Not quite as many people as I wish are able to make that jump and make it at least something that can support, you know, put food on the table, keep a roof over their head. So congratulations to you on that. So when you started, were kids in the mix the whole time? Is that something that you added along the way? Because you've got a pretty healthy youth program along with your adult fight training, correct?
Right. No, kids have always been a part of that, a part of this program. Even when I was doing traditional martial arts, that's the bulk of my students. And my advice to anybody who's looking to start a fight gym or a fight team, unless you plan on doing it out of your house with no overhead, you have to have a kids program. It's very rewarding for you as a coach, for one, just to watch them progress and grow. But your gym is not going to survive without it. Adults have so many problems getting to the gym, getting the training, paying their dues, that sort of thing. But mom and dad will make sure that little Johnny, little Susie, that they are able to come to practice and their dues are paid. So that's what keeps a gym afloat, a fight gym especially.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things. And I think you made the point that people will scratch their head over till the end of time is, you know, you could have simultaneous classes and mom or dad could say, there's no way I can make that. But that same class that they can't make, they can drop off little Johnny or Julie and they can get them there and they'll probably pay as much or more for their kids as they will for themselves. Like it's all, you know, most of us, people who have kids will do more, will go extend more, will pay more for that program. So I think as long as you're providing a good service, it is something that most facilities like yours need to embrace, right? Unless you're a hardcore, you know, strictly high level fight, you know, fight camp gym, there's tons of kids and you can, you know, if you start them early, I think there's a lot of advantages in reward as a trainer too, right? You get them, mold them, you know, get them before they're older and broken and can't do a lot of the stuff that kids can do, right?
Exactly. I have teenagers now, and I've had them over the years, right, to where they start out in my kids program, they move up to the big kids program, and then they go to the teen program, and at some point they start coaching or assistant coaching the kids program, the ones that they started in, and that is it's an amazing thing to see. And it's very, very rewarding to watch someone that you coach from a kid to now they're coaching the kids. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, very cool. And so right now, I think we counted offline, besides yourself, you've got 7 coaches, different areas of specialty, boxing, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, wrestling, conditioning. What percentage of those are people who've come up through your system, have been, you know, students to coaches to assistants? Is it mostly homegrown talent?
No, it's not. Well, I'd say yes and no. A lot of these guys have been with me for a very long time. So they were coaching. They were old, like myself, by the time they started coaching. But maybe they had learned somewhere else and then migrated to Longview and found us. And some point along the way, they expressed an interest in helping out and it turned out to be, you know, great coaches. One of them would be homegrown. He started in my gym. That's Kevin Aguilar. He's one of the boxing coaches. He's a professional fighter, former UFC fighter. So, yes, I'd say out of that 7, one of them is homegrown.
Okay. And a bunch have just been with you and in the system for a long time, but kind of found their own way beforehand. So you benefited from some experience, but they found their way something was magnetic to get him into 515.
Well, I have another coach. He coaches a lot of the jiu-jitsu programs. And that guy has been in our program for many years, but he doesn't, I wouldn't say homegrown, because a lot of my guys, we send them other places. Any opportunity we get to go train at another facility, at another jiu-jitsu, another Muay Thai, another MMA place, these guys are going out there and doing that. So he's coaching here now. He trained here, but he's also trained lots of other places. So I would say it's part homegrown and some of it comes from elsewhere. I can't take credit for him completely. So
I love the humility that comes with, especially the combat sports more than anything, whether it's MMA, boxing, kickboxing, it's always like some next level humility. So I give you credit there. I want to switch topics a little bit to business model and where you've positioned yourself, because you're not everybody off the street, cardio, kickboxing, low skill fitness gym. You are a gym where you can come and learn to fight. Doesn't mean you're ever going to take a pro fight, or maybe you're not going to fight somebody, outside of training at all, but you're providing a high level of skill-based training, but have struck a balance between that and price, reasonably making it as accessible as you can to general population, working class adults, their kids. So how have you found that balance is something that can keep the lights on, put food on your table, and still make it accessible and support what you have?
Trial and error over the years. There's a lot of people, a lot of gyms in my market, I guess, but they don't do what we do. They're more traditional based martial arts. They're not fight gyms. They're not putting out fighters. And my business model, it would be a lot different than a lot of gyms. Money has never been a huge motivator for me. I have to make a profit. I have to pay the bills, have to keep the lights on. But outside of that, I don't have a lot that I need. So I'm not out here trying to milk my students for all they got. So I tell them what it's gonna be up front. We make it as simple as possible, as painless as possible, but mainly, I don't want to exclude anyone. I don't want to charge so much that certain kids, can't come to the gym, or adults or things like that. So the guys that, because I grew up that way, I didn't have a lot of money coming up. When I was training in the gyms back in the early 90s and whatnot, there was times I couldn't pay for it. I was the maintenance man. I was the guy who swept the parking lot. I was the guy who picked up cigarette butts, and that's how I paid my dues. So that's the way I came up, and had they not offered that to me, or just wanted the money, I never would have made it as far as I did. So I want to offer other people the same opportunity.
Yeah, that's something that I find that is, again, if we go to a lot of our combat sports types facilities, it's more prevalent there than anywhere else to have somebody who get some sort of scholarship internally, whether it's official or not, or trade out, or do something where they're just legitimately busting their ass to earn a spot in there to prove like, hey, I'm not here to screw around. I want to learn. I take this seriously. Give me a toilet to scrub. Give me a parking lot to sweep. I'll do whatever I have to. And then as soon as I can pay you, I will. It's never these people that are on the teat forever. It's, they have the pride and the work ethic. It's just, hey, let me get to a position where I can do it, and then I'll pay you whatever you want. So it sounds like you've been there yourself and have kind of fostered that going forward.
Right, right. Yeah, I've definitely been there. I know what it's like, so I'll try to help out.
So you're in a good size location. You're 7,000 square feet. You're not packing it, like sardines. You're not trying to have 1,000 clients coming in and out of here. So I want to talk a little bit about how having a bigger space affected you or put you in a position when COVID hit, if at all. A lot of gyms that are smaller and couldn't do social distancing and all that stuff took a bigger hit. Was having a bigger space an advantage to you then? And I was being in Texas is nice too, because the government was a little more friendly, but how did you fare through that?
So we've only been in this location, September will be 2 years. So during COVID, when COVID hit, I was in another location. It was actually a larger facility than this, but I was only renting a portion of it. And I was sharing space with a fitness center, a sports training center. Those guys, if you want to jump faster, run faster, jump higher, you know, that sort of thing. Those are the guys to go to. They really know their stuff. They're here in Longview. But when COVID hit, I was sub-renting, and I had less space than I do now as far as the training area. When COVID hit, my landlord, of course, closed the building, and I had no say-so over that whatsoever. So what I did three things during COVID. The first thing is I moved a lot of my equipment, mats, bags, a lot of things to my house. It's out in the country a little ways. I turned my carport into a gym. The second, and I told my clients, I said, if you guys that aren't worried about COVID, you're young, you're healthy, you want to keep training, we're going to keep training, same schedule. We're going to do it here. We're going to do it, every night. The second thing I did was I told my clients, we're going to video these. We're going to live stream the workout. So if you are worried about COVID and you want your kids to follow along at home, or you want to follow along at home, well, you have that ability to do that. You can hop online, in the group, and you can follow us along. And the third thing I did, I said, whenever we do get back in the gym, we're going to do makeup classes. So we're going to add extra classes to the schedule, so you can make up what you missed, what you paid for that you didn't get. And I was able to keep about 90% of our clients through COVID. And we were locked down, I think, or locked out of the gym for 6 months or so, or close to 6 months. So those three things is really what saved us, what helped us get through COVID. And a lot of my guys kept training. We kept it going.
Yeah, there's something a little bit more dedicated, a little bit more motivated for the MMA guys, you know, above and beyond. I think your general just casual fitness consumer for sure. And then you go in the extra mile and, you know, setting up at your house and going and doing live streaming, you know, great confluence of events for sure.
Yeah. So that's not what I wanted to do. I'm not a live stream person. I'm not a podcast person. That's not my personality, but we wanted to make sure that we kept those kids busy, especially when they're not going to school. They really need something like the martial arts. If all they can do is watch us and follow along, at least they still feel like they got something going and they're still part of the group.
Got it. So, you know, you've called yourself an old guy on here. I feel like you still have a lot of energy, probably still got a lot left in you. But, you know, where do you see this going for you? Is there a succession plan? Are you going to run this thing for 10, 15, 20 more years? What's the long-term plan? What do you want to see this turn into? Or is it just maintaining where it's at, what you built right now?
So, man, that's a good question. And I've put some thought into it, I guess. Eventually what I want to do is sell this place to one of my fighters, to somebody that's on the inside, who's part of the team. I've had some opportunities present themselves to where I probably could have sold to an outsider. That's not what I want to do. That happened to me actually when I was training. I was 16, 17 years old, somewhere around there, and I wanted to fight. And I was training in a kickboxing gym. My coach sold the gym and left. And when he left, all the fighting went with him. The traditional martial arts stayed, but the kickboxing and the boxing left when he left. And so I don't want to do that to any of my guys. I want somebody that's as passionate as me, that has been on the team, that has been through our tryouts to take over one day. That would be my ideal goal.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. All right, last big topic I want to hit. You are, you know, by self-proclamation, more of a fighting guy, a training guy, than a business guy, right? You've got an office manager, you've got somebody who's in that. So that's one thing you've done to help strike a balance. For our listeners who are out there that are more passionate about coaching, about the, you know, interaction with students and client side of things than business, what would you say, you know, some of the other things are, besides having a great person to, you know, be a business manager, that you've been able to do to maintain this, grow it and nurture it from a position of not really loving the business side so much?
I would say one of the biggest things that helped me out, and I would recommend to anybody starting a gym, and I was reluctant to do this for many years, is to put your clients, one is to use a billing company or some billing software or something. I would rather use a billing company because it's out of my hands. It's easier. It's less headache. I don't have to worry about it. But two, put your clients on contracts. And I was very reluctant to do that for many years. I didn't want to tie my clients down. But it was explained to me this way. It made lots of sense. And I'll explain it the same way. I personally have made a lifelong commitment. I've made a commitment to buy the equipment. I've made a commitment to take out the lease, two, three, four, 5 year leases on the buildings over the years. I have made a commitment to be here nightly, daily, and to be available. And all I'm asking as a business is a 6 month or a year commitment out of my clients. So in doing that, it's going to benefit you and the client. It benefits you because now you know how much money you have coming in. You can make projections. You can buy equipment based on those projections. But as a client, someone who's training, especially in the martial arts, we have this several hurdles we have to get our clients over. One is like 2 week hurdle. If I can get you past 2 weeks, I'm going to keep you in here for 2 months. And if I can get you past 2 months, you're going to be here for a year. And sometimes those are just difficult to get that client over. But if they're sitting home on the couch and they're thinking, man, I've already paid for that, I might as well go. Well, that's going to help them get them over that 2 week hump. That's going to help them get them over that 2 month hump. And eventually it'll help them to change their lifestyle. And that's really our goal. And that's their goal is to change, right? That's why they're here. So having them on a commitment or a contract where they're going to pay either way is going to help you and it's going to help them. And without that, I could not operate on this level. Back in the early days, I was printing out invoices. I spent a lot of time in the office printing out invoices, putting out invoices, and asking people for money. And I don't do that anymore. That's something I don't like to do anyway. So I just let the billing company handle it. Makes my life easier. Keeps the client in the gym.
Got it. All right, sir. Some big words of wisdom there. Last question for you. This is going to be an easy one before we let you go. If our listeners out there, they want to check you out, they want to find out more about 515, where do they go? Website, social media? Where are the best places to check you out?
You know, the best places nowadays are going to be social media. You can find a lot of information on us there. Our Facebook is Longview MMA / Team 515. And then our Instagram is Team 515 MMA. And you can find lots of information there. Check us out, what have you.
That's it. All right. So team 515 MMA on Instagram and Longview MMA / Team 515 on Facebook. Wade, that's all the time that we have for today. But I appreciate you coming on and sharing, spending some of your day with us. I wish you continued success, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. And to everyone out there listening, as always, we won't forget about you. We appreciate you being here with us. We hope you found value and inspiration in this episode. If you'd like to hear more, hit the subscribe button. We'll notify you when new episodes drop. To everyone out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard, keep changing lives. Gym Lords.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.